All right, so last time we discussed the Talmudic text that is related to the issue of if it's ever allowed to pray for a patient to die. Meaning, we're talking about praying for someone to die because they're suffering so much and in compassion. I'm not talking here about praying for your enemies to die or praying for evil people. You know, that's a different discussion. But this is talking about if a patient could get to a situation where we feel that they're suffering so much and they're going through so much and we want to have mercy on them, that we pray for God to take them. And we talked about how, first of all, within the Tanakh itself, there are a number of examples. Rachel seems to, prefer to be dead if she can't have children. And Moshe Rabbeinu complains that his life is so difficult that he'd rather die. He kind of almost asks Hashem, Hargeni na, let me die. And then we saw that Eliyahu Anavi, after Har Carmel, asked to die. He said, Tov Anochi Mi'avosai, I'm not better than my ancestors, so let me die. He says, it was Vishal Nafshal Amus. He asked to die. Then Yirmiyahu had so much misery at the truth of his prophecy that he asked to die. We saw that Yonah asked to die, Tov Mosi Michayai. So that was throughout the Tanakh. And then we saw that the Gemara, there was many stories in the Gemara, like the story of that when Shimon ben Lakish died, his chavrusa Rabbi Yochanan was so sad that he wanted to die, and he also said, or chavrusa mitusa, he said, it was so challenging for him. Choni Amagel, same thing. He was the one who said the words chavrusa mitusa. So we saw that throughout. We saw that the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, actually had one of the Tanaim actually prayed for his son to die because he was born Karos Shivcha, and so like he wanted his son to die because he would have such a difficult life. We saw the story of the woman, the elderly woman, who life became so bitter, she wanted a way to die, so the rabbi told her not to go to shul anymore for 3 days and she would die. We saw the story of Luz, the city of Luz, that the people wouldn't die there, so they would actually go outside of the city, so they would die. And finally, we came to the story of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the Amsa the Beirebi, his maidservant, the woman who lived with him, his assistant, saw how much he was suffering. And so she realized that even though she had been praying for him to live, as were his students outside, she realized that life was so difficult for him that she actually prayed for him to die. And that then he did die. And the first question was, and I'll show you. We'll start looking at the sources. The first question was, did she do the right thing? Was that right for her to pray for him to die? And although it's true that many Rishonim don't quote it, though the Gemara quotes the opposite of the Bei Rebbe, that woman who made that decision, the Gemara quotes her many times that she was correct. But in this case, we don't know, did she do the right thing or not? But the Ran does quote it. And the Ran quotes it elsewhere. The Ran quotes it. The Gemara says elsewhere in the Nedarim Daf Mem Amud Aleph. It says, "Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar kol mevakas achola gorm shelo shiachia." When you visit the sick, it makes them live. V'chol she'ena mevakas achola, and you don't visit the sick, gorm lo shiyamos. You make them die by not visiting. So the Gemara says, "Wait a second. Is that true? Just because I didn't visit a patient, they die? My grandmother, you actually cause it? Ilema kol mevakas achola. If we were going to say that it means when you visit the sick, mevakas shel rachmi shiachia, you pray for them to live." Does it mean you're going to pray that they die because you didn't visit them? Could that be what you're praying? No. When you don't visit the sick, you don't pray for them to live. And they might die because you didn't pray for them to live. That's what the Gemara concludes. So the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim, in 14th century Spain, in his commentary on that piece of the Gemara, not on the story of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, but on that piece of the Gemara, he says as follows. What I think it means, the Ran says, this is what he's saying. Sometimes you actually should pray for the patient to die. Like, for example, the patient is in a lot of pain, harbet, and they have no chance of recovery. Like it says in Perek Hanose in Ksubos, like the story of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Kivan de Chazai Amse the Rabbi, when she saw how much he was suffering, to Al Kama Zimnim Lebeis Hakisev Anach Tefillin Vakamis Dair Harben, that she was in so much pain, she said, He Ratzon Shiachofel Yonim Asatachonim, may the upper worlds, God, who's requesting Rabbi to come back to him, may they win. Kolomar de liyamus Rebbe, that he should die. Mishum hachi ka'amar de mavakar chole mo'ilo b'tfilaso. So therefore we see that the prayers work. V'afil lichios mipnei shehi tefila yoser mo'ilas. Because this is a prayer that is especially effective, whether it's for them to live or to die. Misha enu mevaker ein tzarech lomar she'enu mo'ilo lichios. So for sure, if they don't visit, they can't pray for them to live. Or in a case even when it would be better for them to die. Look at his words. Hana b'misa. When it's more pleasure for them to die. They won't even give them that benefit, that pleasure of dying, because they're not praying for them. So the Ran is quoting that Gemara. He's a Rishon, an important authority, and he is of the opinion that that Gemara was correct to request for when Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's maidservant, the opposite of the Bei Rebbe, when she requested that he die, that was the right thing halachically. Other Rishonim don't quote it, as we'll discuss, but they did. By the way, the Minchas Asher points out that what was the main word that the Ran was quoting there when he saw that the Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's maidservant was correct? He quotes it in his quotation. So he writes there, Ma ra'a haran lahavi raya me'am said the Rebbe. How did the Ran know that she was correct? V'lo mechach mi'Yisrael. But not about the rabbis, because the great rabbis were all there praying as well. So maybe they were right, because the rabbis were praying, and we're saying that the rabbis were wrong? So he says, Shema yesh the dakdek mi da amru da chazai amsa the Rebbe. Maybe we can notice that it says that she saw chazai, she saw he was suffering. They were only outside. They weren't inside. They were outside. And the rabbis are great, but they didn't know the exact situation. She saw his pain. She saw how much suffering he was in, so she was able to say the right prayer. The rabbis would have been right if they would have seen his suffering, but they didn't see it themselves. So therefore, they were saying the wrong prayer because they didn't know. It wasn't that they were wrong. It's just that they didn't have the correct information, the mitzvahs. They were in the middle of their prayers for the ra'u midas tsaro shel Rebbe. They didn't see how much pain he was in, ad kama gedola hi, how much suffering he was in. So that's why the Ran, that's why he uses that word. He quotes the part where it says chazai. She saw it. So the Ran quotes it. The Aruch HaShulchan, the great rabbis did not quote it. Many of the rabbinic authorities did not quote this, but the Aruch HaShulchan did. He was one of the few legal texts that he quotes it. And you see in the end of the quotation there in the Aruch HaShulchan, in the Hilchos Bikur Cholim, Simin Shnei Amud Hei, Sif Gimel, he says there, the lifamim yesh levakesh rachmim sheyamos kagon sheyesh lo yisurim harbe becholiev. Sometimes it actually is right to pray for a patient to die. So, for example, if they're in a lot of pain, the efchar lo shiyichet, and they have no chance of recovery. There's no chance of healing. Kemaisa the Rebbe Perachanosa. Like the story of Rebbe, in that case, it was correct for them to pray for death. That was the right thing. In fact, the Nishos Avraham here quotes, if you look on the next page there, the Nishos Avraham just mentions, he says, V'chashu letzayin, I just want to point out, Shigam leman da amar shemutulis pala al chol shiyamos. Even though some say you shouldn't pray for someone to die, many say you do. Whether it was he quotes the Tiferes Yisrael and the Ran that we saw, and also the Aruch HaShulchan. Even those who say it's not right to pray for someone to die, ein ze omer shememele gam mutter lahorgo bidaim. I'm saying even those who say it is right, that it is right to pray for someone to die, they're not saying you can kill them. They're just saying you can pray for them to die. So. These palal el Hashem hu davar ruchani, but to pray to God that they die, that's spiritual. V'talui baskamato yisprak, and that's up to God to agree with your prayer. L'kabla satfila, will God accept your prayer? V'idach laharog hu maisa adam, but to actually kill them, that's a human action. V'asur min haTorah kechol ritzicha lalo talos. Al kavanasav. It doesn't matter your intention to actually kill someone. Even when we say it's allowed by Jewish law to pray for someone to die, like those who said it, you can't actually kill them. You can only pray for it. And this is what interestingly, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach agreed with this in his rulings, that it is allowed sometimes to pray for a patient to die. But he makes a few interesting points. Here, you see here from Shut Minchas Shlomo, Chelik Aleph, Simon Tzadi Aleph, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's responsa, he says, He says, "Kivan shemitzada alacha mitzvah levakesh alav shemos." Sometimes it is permissible to pray for someone to die, as it says in the Ran, as we just read. Yikomakom gam ba'osa shash mevakesh mispal la'Hashem she'achol yamos. Even when you're praying for a patient to die, gam kein chayev hu lis'asek ba'tzalato u'lachalal alav es ha'Shabbos. You should still do whatever you can to save their life. So not only can't you kill them, you should actually try to save their life. And even if something happens, let's say it's on Shabbos, and you have to drive them to the hospital because they're in a lot of pain and suffering, and you're praying for them to die because they're in so much suffering, you should still break Shabbos to take them to the hospital for their needs. So you break Shabbos even when you're praying for them to die. So you do everything to save their life, even though you're just saying, "I hope God, please take their life. Don't let them suffer anymore. It's too much already. But I'm also going to do everything I can to prolong their life, even while I'm praying for them to die," which is just a fascinating perspective. And it shows how sometimes you can, and even should, hold two perspectives in your mind at once. You can feel what's better for the person, and you also have to feel what you have to do for them. And you can hope for one thing, even as you do the other thing. And it's complicated, but that's what we do. Rav Avadji Yosef, and this is really fascinating, he also allowed, you know, praying for someone to die, but with other caveats. Here's his caveats. First is quoted in Yalkut Yosef, that his son wrote, quoting him, he says, "Mikol makom ein lasos kein ela ba'atzas chacham." You shouldn't pray for someone to die unless you first ask for a great rabbi's opinion. You get guidance from them. If they agree, shiyadun b'chol mikra legufo, in each case-by-case basis. And if they agree, then, only then, can you pray for someone to die. V'yeshikosvu, yeah, we can hear you. So I'm just going to turn on the volume so I can't hear. Only chat with me by text. You're not muted. I can hear you right now. So please mute those of you are on the Zoom, please mute. Keturah, we could hear you. So he says, first of all, only if you have a rabbi, a chacham, who tells you it's the right thing to do. V'yesh shikasu shirak l'anashim zarim, and only for non-relatives. Mutar li yispala al chol l'sukan shemos, but not for relatives. Aval lebanim ein lasoskin. It's not right for the children, the family, someone who has any kind of ulterior motive or potential ulterior motive. They shouldn't pray for the patient to die. Only the other people who just, you know, are caregivers, who are friends or community members. If they see it's in the patient's best interest, but not someone who stands to benefit in any way, whether it's financially or because of family history, or you know, is that they should be praying for this. He gives another thing. He quotes the Chokkei Lev, one of the great Sephardic poskim, says, you know, the motivation must only be for compassion for the patient. Shekavanas hamispala l'shem shemayim belvad. That's why he says it shouldn't be family, because there's just concerns that it might not look right. And then look what he said. There's a fascinating story that the Yalkut Yosef quotes about his father, Rav Avadji Yosef. Not only did he say that you can pray for someone to die, but he says he actually did it. He did it, and here's the story. He says, Zichroni lifnei karov l'shtoshim shana, 30 years ago, She'echad ha-gavirim ha-nechbarim be-Geneva, one of the wealthy community members in Geneva, pana le-Maran, he turned to Rav Avadji Yosef, be-vakasha odos echad mi-pakidei ha-bank shalo. One of the leaders of his bank came to him and said, she'zei ke-arba chamesh shanim, it's already been 4 or 5 years, shochev b'lo ha-kar b'katzameach. He's like a vegetable with no ability to interact already for 4 or 5 years that he's been a vegetable. The doctors say they can't heal him. And the wife can't get remarried because, you know, her husband is he's still alive, but he's in a vegetative state. So what did Avad Yosef do? He went to the avrechim of his yeshiva, Chazon Avadja, shiavo asar levetza cholim, bo humushpaz. So they took a minion to the hospital. They have a prayer that they said with a minion, a prayer for him to die. They said it with a minion and they prayed for him to die. They could have prayed for him to live, to have a miraculous recovery, but they knew, the doctor said it's impossible. So they did it. And even Rav Avadji Yosef joined with that tefillah. Hisragshus Gadola Achuzabanu, and we had, you know, it was an incredible prayer that we all were really inspired by and prayed with great fervor. With Rav Avadya Yosef Liad Mitas Achola, right by the bedside, Shehaya Adam Tsa'ir Mechusar Akari, was a young man who was lacked cognition. V'achein lo avar zman v'aish niftar leves olamo. And a short time later, he died. V'chach hutra ha'isha mikabli agunasa. And now this woman was no longer an aguna, and so their prayers came true, and he died. So, amazing story. Rav Avadya Yosef came to the bedside of this patient, gathered a minion to pray for him to die, because that was what was in his and his wife's best interest. Rav Moshe Feinstein, also, Igros Moshe, Choshe Mishpach, Helik Beisim, and Ayin Gimel, says that one may pray that one cannot live with their, if they can't live with their suffering anymore, it's correct. And he gives this proof from the story of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and that the Ran quoted it. And he also says, based on that, you don't have to do aggressive medical interventions to prolong life at the end of life when someone's suffering. Not just that you don't have to, you can pray for them to die. You also don't have to engage in aggressive pain medication. He then quotes in the next tshuva of Avadya Yosef, also in Choshen Mishpat, but in the next Siman Ayin Dalet, he says, you know, the answer of the Bei Rebbe, she was the proof because we know that her prayers were answered. Her prayers were answered many times, and her prayers were answered in this case. So that's why she was the proof. And then he says, you know, if there was someone today whose prayer has that power, they should do so. But only prayer, not actual killing, of course. Part of the challenge is, of course, we don't have anyone today that has that ability to say those, to pray that all their prayers will be answered. But he still uses this source in the Gemara to say that, you know, we don't have to engage in aggressive measures to prolong life at all costs, and that we can allow someone to die, and that it can be sometimes appropriate to pray for someone to die. And so Rav Moshe is of that opinion. I'll share with you one more posek that agree with this before I'll share with you a few that disagreed. The Shevet Halevi, Rav Vosner in Bnei Brak, he also agreed, but he did have some reservations. This is in Shevet Halevi, Chelek Ches Simen Reish Nun Gimel. You see here that he says that he agrees that you can pray for someone to die, but he expresses concerns. Look what he says here. He says, Shani Amsa de Rebbe, Haisa Isha Gavoa Meod. She was a very, very great woman. Nefesh V'yedash B'shamayim Mevakshim L'Rebbe K'da Amra El Yoni Mevakshim L'Rebbe. It's said in the story there, El Yoni Mevakshim L'Rebbe V'tachtoni Mevakshim L'Rebbe. How did she know that God wanted him? So I translated it when I first read it to you, like, oh, he's suffering, it must mean God wants him. But apparently, no. She knew God wants him because she was so holy. So his argument is, only someone so holy should be able to know that someone's ready to die. Otherwise, we don't know. We have to do everything we can to pray for them to live. And Rebbe, the Shevet Halevi says, Rebbe was different. Because even when he died, he was still alive in a certain way because he was such a tzaddik. So he was still had his impact in the world. But with most people, we don't know when it's their time to die. So who are we to decide that we should pray for them to die? So he says, really, we probably shouldn't. It was just a unique case for a unique person. But then he concludes and he says, Aval mana sesha ram bin adarim. But the Ran, kava kein la halacha. The Ran said it halachically, we accept this and we can pray for someone to die. He was just nervous about it. He says in another tshuva there, and also in Chelik Yud, the first one was in Chelik Ches, this one's in Chelik Yud, Simen Chavav, he says another point, im yesh afilu tikva koldehu bevadai mitzulis palalim. If there's any hope whatsoever that a person could recover, we have to pray for them to recover. We can never give up unless there's really no hope. Aval im lechol adeos afsa kol tikva. But if, according to all opinions, there's no hope whatsoever, he says, fine. Then we can rely on the Ran that mutter afilis pala al cholim asukan mitzdar har beshiyamos. Then he could pray for them to die. So that's his caveats. I mean, he allows it. He just wants to limit it as much as possible. It was only right for the Amsa de Bei Rebbe because she knew he was dying. Otherwise, if we don't know someone's dying, we should want them to live and do everything we can to live and for them to live, unless it's the end of the road. There's nothing else that can be done. Only then. Actually, there's an interesting quote about Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, the stipler in Orchos Rabbeinu. It says, you shouldn't pray for someone to die. But what about the Ran and the story we just read? He says, Ulam, Rishonim Acherim, Mefarshim Acheres. Not everyone else quoted this. That was just a run. So he says, maybe you shouldn't. So let's look at some of the caveats. First was Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach is the guy of the Eide Haredes, the great rabbi in Harnov today in Yerushalayim. And in Shuvos and Hagos, Perek Beis, Simon Beis, he says as follows. Here's his caveat. He permits it, but he has a caveat. He says, Lanios Daiti, Nira Dehainu Kishe Ein Lo Kvar Das Klal. The patient has no mental capacity whatsoever. Vena Roi Lekai Mitzos. And they can't perform any mitzos. And the doctors say they have no chance of recovery to ever do mitzvos again. Or great holy people that they say they're in such pain and suffering that they can no longer serve Hashem with star bekach, and they're suffering over that. So for someone like that, it could be allowed. But then he says, uladati. But if they have any clarity still, any mental capacity, even if they're suffering, they should just pray for them that they should have a merit that through their suffering it should purify them and give them forgiveness. It's only those who have no cognitive capacity, only them could you pray for them to die. Yesh li smoke ala ran li spal shiyamos. Only for them. Only when they are have no capacity whatsoever. And by the way, he points out that what about, you know, even though he is saying you could sometimes pray for someone to die if they have no capacity, you know, his limit is capacity versus no capacity. What about, he points out, someone might argue, what about when the Gemara says, afilu cherev chadam nechas al shavar sh'adam al tisyash min arachmim? Even if a sword is sharpened on your neck, never give up from prayer, never give up from trying. So he quotes, he says, af da'af mutar lis pala al chol shiyamus. It is allowed, though, to pray for someone to die. So what about that? So he says, Rav Shmuel Rozovsky asks this question. And he says as follows. His answer was, he says, Viteris, his answer is, it's only when the sword is munechas al tzavaro, the sword is on your neck. But once the sword has begun to cut the patient's neck, meaning it's already there, it's happening, the dying process has begun, and they're in a lot of pain, they're dying, then so you can't pray for them to die even when it looks really bad. The sword is on their neck. But when the sword is in their neck, then you can. So he agrees again. And that's another posek where Sternbach that agrees you can pray for someone to die, even though it's only if they lack cognition. But again, now we have the Shevet Alevi. He limits it. Rav Sternbach limits it. Rav Moshe allowed it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach allowed it. But there was one posek that, there's more, but one who was most vocal about it, who was against it. He said, no, this story in the Gemara is not saying you couldn't pray for someone to die. In fact, it's saying it's forbidden to pray for someone to die. First of all, he says, yeah, the Ron, this is the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Hey, in Ramat Rachel Simon Hey, he says, no, it's not allowed to pray for someone to die. Even though we quoted the Ran, no one else quotes it. It was just one Rishon, the Rambam, the Rif, the Rush. No one else quotes it. The Shulchan Aruch didn't quote it. So he says, that's not a lot of support for this this idea to say that you can pray for someone to die. That's number one. And number two, he goes on there and he says, Becholzos, lo havu shatke rabbanim l'bai rachmei. The rabbis in this story were still praying for them to die, even though we said the rabbis didn't see the pain and suffering. The Tzitz Eliezer doesn't agree with that. He says, no, we have to learn from the rabbis. The rabbis kept on praying for him to live. Even when the patient is dying and is suffering in a lot of pain, there's no medical hope, b'derech hateva, naturally, you should never give up. God can do anything. And the rabbis taught us that they kept on praying. Now, you could just say, but the rabbis didn't know how bad it was. But Tzitz Eliezer doesn't agree with that. He says, no. You for sure can't pray for someone to die. Not to mention, the rabbis prayed for healing. They must have known how bad it was, and they didn't pray for him to die. So therefore, we see that halachically, you should not pray for someone to die. He goes on. in the further in the tshuva, and he says, "V'imkein my chazis de samchis al masha asasa." I'm saying, Rabbi, why are we relying on what the maidservant did? Samchis al masha asu rabbanan. We should be relying on the rabbis. Now, Rabbi was unique. Now, odzos yeshli tom velomar der Rabbeinu Akadosh, Rabbi shani mirov kedusha so hayem mushlam umugmar. Anyways, how can you learn from him? Because he was complete. He was unique. V'tikein ba'olamo kol ma shehayat tzarech kvar l'taken. He already finished everything, so he was ready to die. But you can't say this about someone else. Other patient, average patient is not on the level of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And anyways, how can you just give up? V'lo pamer inu l'rofim gedolin she'ichsifu b'kagon dat l'kvoa she'achole zeh b'vada yamos. Many times we've heard that the doctors said that a patient's going to die. The ain shum tikva al pi derech hateva, and there's no chance for them to live. She yichia. Ulebesov kamim mitaso the tchia shanim al shanim. In the end, they lived many years. So even those poskim have said you could only pray for someone to die if there's no hope for recovery. But the problem is, there's been patients who had no hope for recovery, and then they recovered. So how can you just give up? So his argument was, we have to do everything we can. And the story only tells us that the rabbis continued to pray. It was only one Rishon and only a few Acharonim who said that you are allowed to pray for someone to die, and therefore they didn't. Now, the reality is, according to Rav Asher Weiss, the majority of postgame don't allow prayer. If you would add up all the postgame, he argued actually that most poskim don't allow prayer for death. They disagree with the Aruch HaShulchan because the Ran's not said in Halacha. And we also don't know if a person's certainly going to die or not. And every moment of life is precious. When one is suffering, you know, maybe it atones for their sin. So even though he recognizes the possibility, he did not encourage it. He actually encouraged, you know, that you should just pray for God, Hashem, to do whatever is right. And let Hashem decide. But we don't make that decision. I know that there were many poskim that argued that it's not right necessarily to pray always for a miraculous recovery, because that could hurt someone's, you know, the people's emunah. You know, I have this book that I just got by Rabbi Moshe Heineman in Baltimore called something like Hilchos Inyani Rofim Refua, and he tells a story there that Rav Meir Simcha, he had an enlarged prostate, and he knew his days were numbered, and he actually told the Slabodka Yeshiva not to say Tehillim for him, because he felt it would be a tefillah shav, a prayer in vain. And also Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said the same thing. Not to pray for someone with terminal cancer, they should live. Just as we don't pray for someone to live forever, you can't pray for... But the point is, they weren't praying for them to die. They just didn't pray for them to live. And actually, when I spoke about this with Dr. David Fox here in LA, he told me that his approach is just to pray to God by saying, I'm not sure what to pray for. I don't know whether to ask for relief from suffering or for a miracle, but I will just accept your will. Whatever it is, God, please give me the strength to align my contradictory emotions and congruence with your ultimate will. I thought that was a very beautiful prayer. You know, Rav Asher Weiss told me, pray Hashem should do what's right. Hashem does the right thing. Rabbi Fox's prayer, I think, is especially beautiful. So you see from here that there is permission, certainly, within the postgame, great postgame, that sometimes it is the right thing to do to pray for someone to die. We have a tradition going back from Chumash through Tanakh, through the Gemara, that's sometimes correct. But the rabbis do express reservations about it. Even though some great rabbis have done it, in certain cases, you had Rav Avadya Yosef gather a minyan and did it, we need to be careful before we just give up and pray for death. We should maybe pray a little bit slightly more nuanced prayers. But there could be unique situations. I think what I take away from this is that there could be some unique situations when it could be appropriate. And that's fine. That's a good thing. It sometimes happens. But it's not something we take lightly, and we don't just immediately begin praying for death. However, it's what is clear is that even if it's not right to pray for someone to die, it is right to have compassion on someone who's suffering and in the dying process. And we don't want them to suffer. And that we should for sure do everything we can to help them not suffer, to pray for them not to suffer anymore. And, you know, every case by case, you know, determine what's the right thing for that patient in that case. The main takeaway for me, though, is the compassion for the suffering patient, to recognize that sometimes death is coming, and that we should, recognize the appropriateness of having compassion for the patient who's suffering and showing compassion for them and trying to be there for them as they need us in their unique situation. So thank you very much.